My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or youtube.tv/1080AM, the Fan. Thank you, Party Animals, for partying hard with us on this Tuesday. Waiting on a call from Noah Eagle, the play-by-play broadcaster for NBC, as Oregon taking on Ohio State, number two versus number three in the country, and it's going to be one heck of a football game and environment in Eugene on Saturday. I wonder when that place, the buzz around the stadium, that's one of the fun things, when it's going to start filling up.
When does it start ticking up?
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a tailgate-a-palooza.
The energy around big games is, like, it's palpable. Like, you can kind of feel it.
And you've got game day that's setting up already.
Yeah.
It's going to be, when it peaks, though, I mean, look, shout out Cal. I mean, they brought it from 3 o'clock in the morning on.
You know, I am actually really glad that the bar was raised
the week before
game day comes.
As opposed to some, like, kind of a weird spot that game day wouldn't go.
Because that tells all of the college kids that are going to show up there.
Better show
up. In the wee hours of the morning. No, our sign game needs to be on point. We need to be raucous. We need to be loud. We can't let Cal have
a dub. Of all places, you can't let Cal do that.
Yeah, we cannot let Cal have a win over us. And that will be the interesting part of college game day being in Eugene on Saturday, because I don't know how many people remember the first couple times game day came to Eugene. Mm-hmm. It was different. I mean,
had puddles up there. It was the first time, right?
Do you had
with Corso?
He made an appearance, but it was like they set it up to where I think like over by where the BMX track is now. And I remember seeing the pictures that I had friends that went up and were there for it of just the massive humanity. And it did. It started at like the show doesn't start till 6 a.m. our time, but people started getting there at 3 a.m. Like the frats they were throwing parties and then just walking over.
Ready to go.
Just lit.
Yeah.
They were lit.
Then you go home and you power nap and you come back for the game.
Yeah. And then you reset, do it all over again. And that that was kind of missing over the last couple of times that game day has shown up to Eugene. Cal raising the bar, that's huge. The fact that it's Ohio State, Oregon, that's huge too. Mm-hmm. That lifts everything up a little bit more when it comes to these types of situations in these games. And I'm pumped for it. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to talk to Noah Eagle about it when he dials us up. And I think Russ just said he's calling right now.
Yeah, perfect.
We have this text that says, yeah, I'm working on getting there at midnight from Vancouver, trying to get that Pat McAfee kick. Let's go.
I know people have their thoughts on Pat.
Mm-hmm.
He's been electric for college football.
He's been really good, and they need that void because Lee Corso is obviously on the tail end of his time there. And he has been, but he was that guy. Lee was that
he
guy.
He riles the crowd up. He brings the juice. He brings the energy. Like, look, Saban's been fun.
I think Saban's been great.
But
Saban has
playing those two off each other, that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a big one. There's no doubt about it. Coming up Friday or Saturday, 4:30 in Eugene. And now joining us is Noah Eagle, the voice of NBC Sports Big Ten Saturday night. Noah will call Ohio State and Oregon alongside Todd Blackledge this Saturday, 4:30 on NBC and Peacock. Noah, thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing better after you really emphasized Peacock on the back end of that show. I'm feeling real good now. Company man over here.
I love it. I know you've been to Oregon. Obviously, your coverage of the NBA has brought you up into Portland. Have you ever been to Eugene, though, before?
Great question. Great question. The answer is no. So this is the first time into Eugene and definitely a heck of a time to do it. But I've heard plenty about it from former Ducks, from former Duck head coaches, from many others, including Todd Blackledge, who have told me it might be the loudest environment in college football. So for a game like this, I'm expecting the noise to hit a different level.
What does that do for you as a broadcaster? Like when you have the energy in the building and you can kind of feel that and feed off of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much we all really appreciated it until COVID. And I definitely always knew that it was important, and you can, to your point, feed off of an energy that a crowd provides. But when COVID hit and there were no fans and I was doing games either remote or in an empty arena or stadium, and it was completely BYOE, bring your own energy, it just didn't feel the same. You just couldn't quite gauge when you needed to crank it at that same level. Now you can react based on how the crowd reacts, and you can understand what most of the fans at home are probably thinking or feeling, similar to how the people that are actually live and watching the event are feeling or thinking. So I think it's a huge advantage. But when you've got an environment that's massive like this one is supposed to be, or when I was doing the Olympics, there were a couple of those where it was just insane noise. I think you've got to also understand you can't go too big too early at the same time. So you can't overly match right away because you still need to save something for the fourth quarter and the biggest moments of the game. So it's a balancing act, but it definitely helps.
No, I know the preparation for every game is going to be extensive, particularly on football, the difference between, you know, football and basketball. But when you look at a game of this magnitude, when you've got, you know, two top five teams in the country, and you've got a likelihood that these teams coming out of this are going to be vying for high-level college football playoff spots, does the preparation change for you at all?
No, not really. I think the biggest key is actually trying to remind yourself not to do too much. You already over-prepare for every game that you do, and I say that an average of percentage of content prepared that actually gets utilized in the broadcast is probably 30. You know, I'm probably using about 30% on an average game. It's 50 if the game is terrible and about 15 if the game's really good. So the hope is that I'm only using 15% of the info that I have. But if I'm already doing that, then to prepare even more would be probably not even smart, because then you're just overloading yourself and then you want to try to squeeze things in when they don't fit. I think the best thing that we've really adopted as a team, and our broadcast team has done a great job of this, and last week I thought we really did with the Michigan-Washington game, is you let the game come to you and don't force anything and don't feel the need to say something just to say it. Only say something if it really is going to make a difference in the broadcast. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to make sure that we're overprepared per usual, but I don't think it's going to stray away from any other week.
When does that start? I mean, here we are on Tuesday. You got to put the game that you did on Saturday in the rearview mirror. When does that really start in hunkering down, and what does that process look like for you as you are preparing over the course of a week? Because you got till Saturday. You've got to go through. Is it stats? Is it backstories? Where does it start, and how does that progress over a week?
Yeah, you know, I think that everybody does it differently, and I just know I get back every Sunday from my game. Usually I have to leave early Sunday morning. Last week I got a red eye, so it was sleep through, get here, try to get a couple more hours. And every Sunday I said to myself, you know, I'm going to be really efficient today. I'm going to sit down while I'm watching NFL, and I'm going to do my expense report, and then I'm going to start reading articles and watching last week's games of our teams. And by the time I go to sleep, I'm going to have a really good base heading into the week. And then I do none of that, guys. I do absolutely zero. I sit on my couch and I just wallow away and go, God, it'd be really nice if I was efficient right now instead of just scrolling Twitter constantly and endlessly and looking at my failed fantasy team. So instead, I'd say Monday is when I jumpstart things. Monday morning, I wake up. I take care of whatever little things need to be taken care of, whether it's emails or setting up meeting times or anything like that. And then it's kind of right to work. So it's reading articles, getting background on the teams, watching back their previous games. And by the end of Monday, the hope is that I've got a lot of the background done. So bio information on players and things of that nature and the background of the team season so far. And then come Tuesday, it's a lot more now detailed. Can we start getting stats on there? Can we start getting deeper background on there? Can we read more articles, press conference stuff? What are the coaches saying? What are the players saying? What are the media saying? What are the fans saying? You know, I actually like to listen a lot of times to podcasts of the local teams because they have the biggest pulse, and a lot of them are fans. They're fans that are talking about the team. So you start to get a flavor of what the fans are saying and feeling about their respective teams. And then Wednesday, we usually meet with a road team. So tomorrow, in all likelihood, we'll meet with Ohio State over Zoom. Thursday, I travel in, so I'm typing up a lot of those notes on the plane, finishing up a lot of the notes that I had already started. Friday, we meet with the home teams, players and coaches, and then Saturday, we do the game and go from there. So it's just a lot of compilation over the course of the week, and by the time you're there on Saturday, it hopefully is all organized, highlighted, color-coded, and you just let it rip.
No,
I'm just glad he's one of us. Just sitting around on a Sunday, scrolling Twitter, watching NFL, getting lost in it. He's one of us.
No,
7 hours.
Yeah, absolutely locked in. You are coming into the college football world now, where it's a professional world. It's no longer the facade of what it was for so long. And over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about kind of how the some of the voices of college football have transitioned, or just the voices of football have kind of transitioned out of the game. And you are kind of uniquely positioned at a point where you're so early in your career, you have this opportunity to kind of be the voice of the new world of college football, whether that's one of these professional, you know, private equity firms that comes in and takes over things. Do you kind of look at that and where you are and the unique landscape of where things are now and just kind of allow yourself to think about what could be?
Yeah, to a certain degree. You know, I try not to go too far into the future and try to definitely live in whatever our present matchup and present season is, but it's impossible to ignore kind of how things have developed over the last couple of years. And, you know, I work with Todd Blackledge, and the one thing he told me is college football and college athletics have changed more in the last 5 years than in the previous 25 that he had worked in them combined. And he's right. I mean, I think we all see it. It's directly in front of our face. So to your point, I think I'm uniquely positioned in the sense that while I grew up and I watched it and consumed it, I wasn't living in the space to the level that I am now. And so at this point, I'm living in this space as all of this is happening, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it because I get to hear perspectives of everybody. I get to hear the perspectives of coaches who have been coaching for quite literally 30-plus years, like a Kirk Ferentz, who has been through now all of it. And then you get to hear perspectives of somebody like Dan Lanning, who's in year three as a head coach, who's got this youthful energy to him, and it's probably different. And so I just feel like I get to blend and try to bridge those gaps, which is a lot of fun and certainly a challenge as well. But excited to see where it all goes, because I think more than anything, it's creating intriguing matchups like this weekend. And this weekend is supposed to be, I would say, the best one we have this season. And so we're just looking forward to trying to do justice by that and make sure we do our due diligence by doing the work and having fun once we get there. But yeah, excited to see how this all develops. And the new Big Ten has been beneficial to us so far this season. So we hope that continues.
You know, as we take a look at this matchup, I think Ohio, when you think of Ohio State and you think of Oregon, I think offense really comes to most fans' minds immediately. The defenses, though, have really shined for both of these programs through the first five games of the season. What have you kind of seen in your initial dig of both of these teams that's standing out to you on either side of the ball?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that with all four of these West Coast teams joining the Big Ten, there's this level of, I don't want to say arrogance, but almost this level of like, hey, these guys don't play defense. They're just here to score points. And I actually think that that's completely false. I think all four programs did an excellent job of understanding that they're going to need to build out their defense as much as their offense as they make the move to the Big Ten, which is what they've done. I mean, Oregon hires Dan Lanning. It feels like a very clear move of they've had all these offensive minds for so long and have had success with them. But you bring in a defensive guy who led the best defense in the country and led them to a national championship. And while their offenses have still been dynamite, their defense now this year in particular have caught up to a certain degree. And so they are ready to play Big Ten football. We saw it with Washington last week. You know, Jed Fish has told the team, we need to be willing to win games in the 20s. It's not the Washington and Pac-12 of old. USC went out and poached UCLA's defensive coordinator. They're much improved on that side of the ball. UCLA has now built out their defense over the last 3 years so that they can be competitive in this new league. And I think Oregon's right at the top of that list. I think they've got the personnel to do it and the talent. We've seen it. And especially in the last 3 weeks, it just feels like their defense and realistically their entire team is playing at their highest level of the season. You know, last week they gave up 10 points. They were all basically garbage time points. UCLA, they gave up 13 points to a team that, while they're not quite what they were the last couple of years, they still have a lot of talent offensively, and they still have a lot of the pieces that were part of the best rushing offense or one of them the last 2 years in college football. You know, Boise State, I know a lot of people looked at that game and they're like, oh my goodness, how do you barely escape with it? Boise State could make the college football playoff this year, and they might have the Heisman Trophy winner in their backfield, and you win that game. So I just think that what they have is they've learned lessons from those two early games, and they've played really well their last three. But this is going to be a different level of test, guys. I mean, Ohio State comes in with the best 1-2 punch at running back in the country and the best 1-2 punch at receiver in the country. And all four of those guys are NFL-level talents, not just in the sense they'll make the league, but they'll be impact players and maybe even stars. And Jeremiah Smith might be the best true freshman in the country, which is saying a lot from what we've seen out of Ryan Williams at Alabama at 17 years old. They're both prodigies at wide receiver. But it's in Eugene. It's a defense that's playing well. They're confident coming in. And I think they know this is their opportunity to say, hey, we're here. We're in the Big Ten, and you can't mess with us.
Noah Eagle, he'll be on the call Saturday night, 4:30 on NBC and Peacock. Thank you for the time, man, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and hopefully Autzen puts on a show for you.
Absolutely. I can say there will be commercials, so it won't quite be red zone level, but we will be having some fun out there. So if you're not going to be at the game, hopefully you can join us 4:30 on NBC.
All right. Noah Eagle. He's one of us. He watches football all day Sunday and avoids every single obligation that he has
to the real world.
That's right. As we all do. As we all do on Sunday, whether it's licking your wounds from Saturday, celebrating Saturday, having your team go up and down. And as he said, you know, his multiple fantasy teams may go either way on him. That was interesting stuff. He is, you can
see. The fact that he's a consummate pro before he's even 30 years old bothers me.
Yeah, he has his stuff together, man.
He sounds like he's been doing it for 40 years already. He's going to have a hell of a career, man.
Yeah. I mean, his life has been
like leading up to this.
Yeah. His grandfather was an actor. His dad is a legendary play-by-play voice. He's got the chops, man, and he's really damn good at what he does.
It's always cool when it comes together. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It does.
When you're like, you kind of see things line up for somebody and you're like, it should, and then sometimes it doesn't. But when it does, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, there it is. He's better at life than us right now. Dang, man. All right, great stuff. A little palate, a little wet the beak there of Ohio State and Oregon. Tomorrow, we, I think, are going to get a visit at this time from Danny Cannell. College football. We'll talk with Danny Cannell, all things college football.
We'll need to hash something out with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It is.
Yeah. For those that don't know, there's a lot of confusion that happens on social media, especially.
On a daily basis.
Danny Cannell hosts a show called Danny and Dusty.
That was started 3 months after ours.
Yeah. This...
Like, the cosmic things that had to happen for two people named Danny and Dusty to come together to start a radio show.
That's right.
At almost the same point in time is almost unfathomable.
Yeah. Ours was first, though, because we do have at Danny and Dusty the Twitter handle.
Indeed.
Which leads to a lot of the confusion.
Yeah. A lot of very angry SEC people who want to go after Danny Cannell.
That's
right. I'm the wrong Danny.
But, I mean, they can be mad at you.
No, it's funny.
They can be mad at you.
I do occasionally engage back.
It's fine, sir. This is a Wendy's. This is the wrong Danny and Dusty.
I have enough people mad at me.
It should be an exciting one Saturday, 4:30 on NBC and right here on The Fan if you're going to be listening on radio. That was Noah Eagle, play-by-play broadcaster for NBC Big Ten Saturday Night. All right. We got a little late breaking news in the National Football League.
Indeed.
And it's not Robert Saleh being fired.
But it is the same division.
Oh, God.
Yeah, definitely got their stuff together up there.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I wonder what team it is.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Worst Day on the Web comes in 5 minutes, but mine's already here as I looked at the internet. Drake May will be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots this Sunday,
which we all knew was going to happen eventually, but the Texans?
Yeah.
The team that has, like, every quarterback has said they're doing all kinds of stuff and they're confusing the hell out of me.
Mm.
And you've got a freaky pass rush.
Yeah.
And they're disruptive as hell.
Yeah.
That's the team that you go, that's the team that's 4-1.
Yeah.
That uglies up the game, that muddies it up, that has a defensive-minded head coach. Mm-hmm. That's the team that you want Drake May making his debut against.
Yeah.
You couldn't go like one more. Who do the Patriots play next week?
I don't care. The Jags.
Yeah. You don't want him to play against. That's who you don't want him to make his debut against?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know which way I'm going in this situation.
Yeah. I know which way I'm going too, which is straight to hell.
Yeah.
This is so bad. It's so bad. Mm. So if you're wondering, hey, Dusty, why are you so down on playing the quarterback that your favorite team drafted 3rd overall? Well, let me tell you a little something here.
It's because he's going to die.
He is going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other 3 rookie quarterbacks that are playing right now, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to Pro Football Focus, the Chicago Bears pass blocking grade is 9th in the NFL. The Washington Commanders pass blocking grade is 5th in the NFL. The Denver Broncos pass blocking grade is 4th in the National Football League.
Which, those have been big time improvements over the last 2 weeks for Denver and Chicago.
Yeah. New England's is 30th.
Yeah.
30th.
Which is why Jacoby Brissett's dead.
30.
Because he's been smoked back there.
Hey, well, you know what? They may not. Maybe they'll just run the ball a lot. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because their run blocking grade is 29th.
You know,
there is no team in the NFL that is anywhere close to being as bad in both run blocking and pass blocking as the New England Patriots are. Their offensive line is awful. I've been trying to tell people this for a really long time.
Well, surely they have some weapons for him to throw to.
No. No, they don't. They don't. I mean, their leading receiver has 180 yards.
Oh, my God. Didn't Drake London just have more than that last weekend on Thursday night?
Yeah. Yeah, he did, Danny. He did.
Notice I didn't go Jamar Chase because, like, that's normal. Jamar Chase has 190 yards. Like, ah, yeah, Jamar Chase.
180 yards.
In five games.
Yeah. They have two receivers on their team that have over 100 yards receiving this year.
Sweet baby Jesus. God, they're so bad.
They have more guys. They have twice as many guys under 50 yards. No, under 40 yards than they do over 100 this year.
For those that don't know, off air, Dusty and I joked last week or yesterday, the New England Patriots are going to be the first team in NFL history.
Yeah.
To go 0-16 after starting a season 1-0.
No, they will be the only team in NFL history to have 16 consecutive losses and have a win.
And have a win, that's right. Yeah. In a season. Because that 17th game.
Oh. Well, you want to know the good news?
RIP Drake May?
No, that's not good news. Oh. The good news is he's going to be wearing his throwback. They're going to be wearing the throwback uniforms. They're going to be wearing the reds with Patriot pad and the white helmets. He'll look good as he gets
murdered,
smashed into the turf.
I mean, he went full Deadpool. He went red, so they went red, so they can't show the show the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they have brown pants?
I don't. They need them because
they're
maybe
all
going to
grab them.
Maybe yellow. I don't know.
Offensive lineman wears yellow this, so that when they dribble down their leg.
This is so bad.
Yeah, he's gonna get David Card.
Yeah. Well, that's so fun. I'm so excited. And you know what? I think Drake May's got a future.
I think so too.
I think he does. Yeah. At the same time, I didn't want to see this.
No. I was like week 8, week 9, this. Like get halfway through the season. That way, it just doesn't get hit like 80 times in the season.
Well, yeah, yeah. Maybe do it against a team like. Maybe this is the week that you do it because it's like Jacksonville is going to be all like fiery and they have something to prove and like they got to win that.
They might fire their head coach after this week and then they might come back fiery next week.
Yeah, so like maybe you do it against the Texans where Texans are like, oh man, I feel bad for this kid. You know.
Well,
and
hopefully
you hit him with the whoop-de-doop.
I mean, if Danielle Hunter comes free like he did against Caleb Williams, that's not good for
That's not good for anybody.
No.
So Drake May is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Godspeed, young man.
Yeesh.
Godspeed. I feel like he is one of those like early NASA astronauts where they're like putting him in the rocket ship.
Just strapping
and they're
him
like,
to it. We don't really know.
Man, this don't worry about the 8 test rockets that blew up. Mm-hmm. We got 2 out of the 10.
Yeah,
they were fine, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to be good. Oh. You're going to be fine. This is going to be okay.
Strap you to 10 nuclear bombs and push you into space.
Pay no attention to the fact you're probably playing the third best team in the NFL. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. 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 So that's how my day's going.
Perfect. Perfect. I like it. I love this for you.
Mm.
Love this for you.
Yeah, so great.
All right. Well, coming up for our worst day on the web, we're going to pivot to a little sports action. Oh. And do the Dodgers secretly have the worst fans in baseball?
Maybe.
Maybe? Maybe. Yeah. But first, is the Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
Drake that's that Hawaiian burger joint.
He might die.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
We'll talk about some baseball coming up here in a little bit, but now we're going to talk about the antics of baseball for our worst day on the web here today. Both the Dodgers and Padres, they hate each other. Their fans hate each other.
It's great.
It's not quite Dodgers-Giants, somebody like suffering a brain bleed, getting... crap kicked out of him in a parking lot situation?
No, nobody to date has been
hospitalized.
Had a life-altering injury done to them.
Due to a fan fight.
Yeah.
Not if you listen to Dave Roberts.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
What a joke.
I mean, what angle do you want to take on this? The Padres fans throwing baseballs at at Profar.
Well, yeah, there's actually
Manny Machado.
Hold on, the Padres fans. There was literally a video yesterday of a guy in a Dodgers jersey mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, I said Padres fans. I meant to say yeah. Dodgers fans.
No, but there was this yeah. like LA spin that no, that wasn't. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
He was jawing at
yeah. Jerkson Profar robbed a home run, mm-hmm. and he taunted some fans. He had some fun.
Yeah,
and then he went over and handed the ball to a Dodgers fan who was there as his kid. And to the Dodgers fan credit, he threw it back like you do at a baseball park.
Yeah,
he did not throw it at Profar.
Sure.
Now, there were people in the stands that did throw baseballs
and beers
at Profar.
That's the ugly part. And like, okay, people in the bleachers, Dodger Stadium,
yeah.
it happens often.
It's the same in New York. It's the bleacher creatures.
Just be better. Don't throw stuff at players. Take the ribbing, take the jawing back and forth. He actually tried to do something cool. But here is like, here's the thing about everything that's going on with the Dodgers right now. Mm-hmm. They seem so whiny
mm-hmm.
about
soft.
All of this yes. stuff. Because then there's the Manny Machado
yes,
stuff.
Yes, where they used a ball for one singular warm-up pitch, I believe. And as they're getting ready, the Dodgers getting ready to come to the bat, Manny Machado loosely... it's more than a roll... less than a throw.
Yeah, okay. So what happened was, like, they do every baseball game, right? Catcher gets it, throws it down to second.
Yep.
Ball skips in, and anytime a ball skips off the dirt in baseball, new ball comes in.
Yes.
Nothing new. Manny Machado gets the ball. It's scuffed up. He zips it. Now, it wasn't a throw. Whatever.
Again, more than a roll, less yeah. than a throw.
He threw it, it one-hopped, and it hit the fencing right in front of the Dodgers dugout, right where Dave Roberts was sitting. Now, Dave Roberts, Manny Machado, they have a history.
Yes,
remember
they do
Manny
not
Machado
like
in L.A. Didn't work out.
No.
Now he is a Padre, okay? But Teoscar Hernandez is the one, like, Dave Roberts was, like, looking at the analytics binder. He didn't even notice what was going on. Mm-hmm. But then he got upset when Teoscar Hernandez was getting upset because they saw who threw the ball. Dave Roberts goes on this thing that it was unsettling and it was intentional and he was throwing it at me. If Manny Machado wanted to hit Dave Roberts with a baseball, he would have hit Dave Roberts
Manny
with the
Machado
baseball.
Manny Machado has an absolute cannon.
He plays third base. He can throw the ball 95 miles an hour across the diamond and hose somebody at first base on his back foot yeah. falling away. Like, if he wanted to hit you, he would have. Yeah. This is the lamest, most soft thing I have ever seen, especially from a team that dotted Fernando Tatis
yeah.
with a fastball in the back because he pimped a home run.
Yeah.
So you tell me, which is worse? Manny Machado one-hopping a ball into the
dugout fence
or dotting a guy between the numbers with a fastball?
The star.
Like... what are you doing, Dodgers?
Imagine if one of the Padres pitchers, let's say Yu Darvish, you know, rears back and smokes Shohei right in the middle of the back.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to go over?
It's not going to go over well.
So, yeah. I
think the Dodgers come off
Charmin
soft.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly
Charmin soft in this.
And now the Padres have had to warn their fans about abusive behavior ahead of Game 3 in San Diego.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes, though, right? And this thing is going to, they're going to escalate between the fans. And I hope none of the fans do anything stupid tomorrow or today down in San Diego, because what it would do is that would start taking away from what is a phenomenal series. And we have phenomenal baseball going on all across the divisional round, which we'll get to. But just don't do stupid stuff. Let this rivalry fester, though. And let it brew, because the Dodgers, like, this is the thing with how the Dodgers are acting right now. Doesn't it have kind of all of the makings of the elite team that crumbles?
Yes.
And like, yes. they crumble far too early in the yeah. postseason, and it ends. And like, surprise, surprise, the Dodgers have done this before. But
well, this was the criticism of Dave Roberts.
You sit there and you go, they're looking for an excuse over absolutely everything. And whether it's Jack Flaherty getting all hot and bothered, whether it is Dave Roberts whining about Manny Machado throwing a ball towards their dugout, which didn't hit him. Nobody got hurt.
It's like the Dodgers thought nobody was going to pull the video.
I mean, well, and that's the thing is that Dave Roberts is saying it was unsettling when I saw the video, and I hope Major League Baseball investigates it. What are they going to investigate? That he flipped a ball towards your dugout, yeah. Which is kind of standard practice. Like, did he throw it a little bit harder? Yeah, he did. But did anybody get hurt? No.
Like, do I think that Manny Machado probably threw it just hard enough to like, hit the fence and make a little sound and
yeah.
be an irritating little a-hole?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. But also, I feel like that's within the realm of boundaries of being irritating a-hole in playoff baseball.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like, nobody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you got your head down, maybe you go, huh, you know? Scared you a little bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, the same team complaining about it that threw a two-seam fastball right in the back of Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm. So
because he hit the ball too far and looked and watched it too much.
And then, like, also, this is also because Manny Machado let him know after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was yelling at Flaherty in the dugout
oh, yeah.
during the inning.
And Flaherty will chirp back.
Yeah.
That's part of who he is.
This is great.
No, this is what you want.
Yeah.
Now, not the fan stuff, but you want the players on tilt. This is what makes big moats. And I hope Tatis has a chance to absolutely rake again, and he pimps it off the bat again. Did you see how far Shohei Ohtani threw that bat when he hit his first postseason mm-hmm. home run? That thing might have landed in Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's great. Do you want to hear the exchange postgame of what Jack Flaherty and Manny Machado said?
Absolutely.
Flaherty said, everybody catches the tail end of it, of me and him going at it. But I was sitting there for my team. He was thrown at our dugout. The umpires went over immediately. I don't know what their conversation was, but our dugout was fired up because there's no reason for that. Machado responded with, I throw balls all the time into the dugouts, both dugouts. They have bat boys. You throw the ball back in there.
I mean, yes. Look, Machado's not entirely innocent.
No, he's not. But stop but, like, being... They're trying to make a yeah. mountain out of a molehill.
It's not even a freaking molehill. Anthill?
Yeah. I don't know if that's bigger or smaller. Out of a clump of dirt.
Yeah, I think...
this is just a clump of dirt.
This is the dung beetle. That's what this is.
Sure.
Making a mountain out of a dung beetle.
There you go. Rolling
a big old turd down the hill.
I can't wait for it. Tonight, though...
Spicy.
It's going to be a fun game.
Petco's going to be juiced.
Yep. And
who's pitching tonight?
The people of San Diego are going to be in for a... treat. You ask who's pitching tonight?
Yeah, who's pitching tonight?
Walker Buehler and Michael King.
Yep.
And this also neglects to mention a pitcher getting robbed. Did you hear about that?
Was it Walker Buehler?
Yeah, Walker Buehler got a $100,000 watch mobbed and ripped off of him.
At a racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Maybe don't wear a $100,000 watch to a racetrack. Like, look, yeah. Churchill Downs? Sure.
Yeah.
Santa Anita? Not so much.
Yeah.
No. That's where a lot of horses are dying lately.
I think they've stopped dying. Yeah.
Recently, there's a lot of them. They had a bad run of that.
His mother's mother was a mutter.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of mud at Santa Anita.
No. His father was a mutter.
Yeah. Turns out.
Mutter was a mutter.
Mm. And, but so there you go. We'll dive back into some baseball a little bit later. We'll actually have quite a bit of baseball. But let's pivot to the NFL for a short little bit here. You want to talk Bo Nix, Sean Payton? A little meltdown yesterday?
Sure. Sunday?
Or Sunday?
Yeah.
My days are all blending together. And then we'll come back an hour number three and have some three up, three down. So we got a lot of NFL to get to. Come up here next on Danny Dessy, 1080 The Fan. A little hot right here. We're going to keep it on baseball real quick. Make sure we wrap up all of our baseball coverage before we basically go NFL for a final hour.
Yeah, man.
Last night gave us some fantastic baseball. The Guardians and Tigers played an incredible defensive game. And if you're out there and you're the Guardians and you've got Clase on the mound, you're like, hey, we scratch across any run. We're good. Mm. You're talking about a guy who has allowed 5 runs all season long, gets roughed up for a 3-run shot, and now you have a series between the Tigers and Guardians that's tied up at 1.
Runner goes, pitch is swung on, a high fly ball to right field. This one is going to fly! A 3-run home run! Carey Carpenter!
Woo!
The Tigers up 3-0 as Carpenter, an emphatic, towering fly ball home run into the bleachers in right field. What a moment.
Dude, 0-0 in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Kerry Carpenter again, like,
who's pinch hitting in the second time
you're
around.
You're going, who? Like, this Tigers team is just a bunch of, what?
Yeah.
Who plays for them? He hits a 3-run bomb off a guy that you said, 5 runs all season.
Yeah. One of the best, if not the best, bullpen guy in baseball.
See, in a 0-0 game, they steal home field advantage. Mm-hmm. Like, that is...
And you have a gem incredible. from your ace again in Tarik Skubal, who goes 7, allows 3 hits, strikes out 8, doesn't walk any. Good Lord, is he a terrifying pitcher.
In that game, like the swing that you get at the end of that game, it made history because the later game, the Royals and Yankees, Royals end up winning 4-2, but they were in command and in control. I mean, they were
early.
4-1, I think, heading into the ninth inning. And that gave us, for the first time in Major League Baseball history, every single series in the divisional series is tied at 1-1. That has never happened before.
How?
Because home field advantage. You hold home field. Every team stole it.
This is the sport that's existed for like 170 years.
Yeah. Well, the division series has only been around since 95.
Yeah.
So, but you're still looking at it since that's almost 30 years that we're going
that's
here.
That's crazy.
And we've never had all four series even at 1-1. And that was going to be the one that was in jeopardy at the end because, again, the Royals, they end up stealing home field advantage from the Yankees. Yankee fans are now going through it again because they have the better roster. They have the better team. And Aaron Judge just isn't showing up. Have you seen Aaron Judge's splits?
Yeah, it's...
Ryan Spader tweeted this out. Aaron Judge's postseason career. In 5 career wild card games, he has a slash of... He's hitting 300, 417 slugging, and then 800 OPS.
Mm-hmm. Which?
The ALDS, he's played in beyond. So the ALDS and American League Championship Series, he has played in 41 games. Mm-hmm. His slash line is 196, 297, 405. In 24 career ALDS games, he's hitting 194.
You know what this is, right?
Good pitching and you're not at Yankee Stadium the entire time, hitting over a short porch?
For sure. But it's also the Clayton Kershaw effect. A guy who's just utterly dominant in the regular season. But for whatever reason, the playoffs come around and just doesn't happen.
That is... He went 1-for-4 yesterday.
Right? Now, I'm not saying that because... I mean, look, I don't like the Yankees, but I've got nothing against Aaron Judge. I want to... Like, great baseball players, I want to see them all show up.
He's hitting 143 in this series.
Yeah, it doesn't make any... Like, Clayton Kershaw might be my favorite pitcher of all time.
Sheesh.
It just never... It finally did come together for him.
Finally did.
But...
They won a World Series.
You look at his playoff performances. He had a couple where he was actually very good, and the Dodgers screwed him over because they couldn't scratch a run across. But he also had some of the biggest and most epic meltdowns we have ever seen, and he might be the most dominant pitcher of this century.
True. Facts.
And it just,
big facts.
But it just didn't, for whatever reason,
it never came together.
And I think that's you're looking at the same kind of thing with Aaron Judge. Now, certainly... Come playoff baseball, pitchers are more honed in. The scouting report gets tighter. You know, you start locking in on certain things. And yes, like you talked about, you're not playing every game at Yankee Stadium. Also, at the end of the season, Aaron Judge probably isn't healthy.
Yeah, that has been the story in the years past. But this year, he's been
healthy-ish. But
but it's wear and tear. Yeah. It's playing 170 games. You're creeping up on soon enough.
The 6'7" monster. You know, that's kind of been the thing, right? And I just you wonder, can they find a way around this? Because this Yankees team, they don't have that level of pitching where they can just Diamondbacks this thing.
No, I mean, and this is another cool part about where we're at with the postseason and the teams that are involved, right? You think of both the Guardians and the Yankees who got home field stolen from them in the first two. Now they got to go to two places tomorrow where. It's been a decade since the Royals have hosted a postseason game when they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's been over a decade since the Tigers have hosted a playoffs game. They're going to be going into like the most hostile.
Oh, and it's going to be electric areas. Because of how good they've been down the stretch.
That is going to be so much fun for both of those teams. And like now you're sitting there going, all right, they're putting the screws to the favored teams here.
The only unfortunate part is that Scooble's not going to be able to pitch at home.
Nah, I find a way. But all of these games are going to go at least four. So maybe you get Scooble into game five.
True.
You get you can get him there. Yeah. That'd be badass.
Yeah. Because he's definitely got the juice to get it done.
Yeah. And then for the Mets and Phillies are playing tonight. I think they're just about to get underway.
Yeah, it's actually Nola and Manea pitch on the bump tonight.
Do you know the last time the Mets played a home game? Because I was shocked. Was it
the Subway Series?
No. I'm just talking any home game.
Oh, any home game?
September 22nd.
Oh, God. They went that. Look, they closed the season on the road.
They were on the road for the last week. And then it's been 16 days since they've had a home game. They were not even in the postseason the last time they played a home game. Because remember, it came down to the final day. On the Monday when they were in Atlanta playing the doubleheader to get in. They have not been back
because
they had
the makeup games. That's right. Otherwise, they would have.
And they went straight to the road. So this is the first time that the Mets fans, like you're going to have electric environments across the board. We just talked about the Padres and the Dodgers. Like they go down to San Diego.
Petco's going
to
be just turnt tonight.
You're going to have four games over the next 2 days where these fan bases,
no matter where you're playing that series, that place is going to be nuts.
All the fan base is going to be frothing at the mouth for those games. That's playoff baseball is awesome. It's so damn fun.
God, is baseball doing here. It? Are they doing it right?
They have been doing a lot of things. Like Rob Manfred gets a really bad rap. He's been doing a really damn good job.
Last couple years, Rob Manfred taking the crown?
No. It's still Roger Goodell. I mean, he's in cruise control.
Well, I mean,
he can't screw that up.
I mean,
how's he going to screw that up? What's he going to do to screw that up? There's nothing you can do.
That's fair.
He literally is a cruise control.
$50 million a year to just not screw it up.
And now doesn't even get the rap of being the bad guy,
right?
For punishing players because he's like, you guys are all mad at me for that. I'll let somebody else do it,
and they'll do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's great.
God, what a job!
How about that?
What a job! All you got to do is not butcher Mariota.
No, he still screws those up all the time.
It's the simple things in life. All right, coming up next, it is Tuesday afternoon. It is 2:00-ish, which means it's time for us to go three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was, coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.